Hello, good evening and welcome to another Bank Holiday Monday edition of Extra Time. My name's Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We'd love to hear from you. 083 311 3311. Very welcome along. Lots to cover on tonight's show, this Bank Holiday Monday. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 083 311 3311. That works for WhatsApp messages as well. 083 311 3311. And also you can get us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at TipFMSport. Obviously a sporting weekend and football takes centre stage. So I'm going to start off immediately by saying good evening to Tom McGrath. How are you, Tom?
No, Ronan.
Lots to talk about, but let's start with Loughmore Castellini. The headline in the Examiner says Loughmore Castellini keep the double dream alive. Is it fair to say that the second half was a somewhat dour affair?
I think if you're a neutral, I think it would have been great stuff because it was full steam ahead by both crowds, both going at it, but riddled with errors, and you wouldn't know what was going to happen next. It was hard on the faithful from both sides.
Probably hard for Loughmore because they were down to 14, which makes defending a lead a lot more difficult.
No, the black card was in the first half.
Oh, right.
So they were not too bad, and then Kilchilan had a similar episode in the second half. So, and both parties seem to have done better. No disrespect to Aidan McGrath or Paul Maher, but both parties seem to have done better with 14.
My apologies, I'm reading the match report in the Examiner, which says a red card to Aidan McGrath, but obviously that didn't happen based on what you're telling me.
No, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my thanks.
That's the real story here, anyway.
Fair play to you, Tom. But it was that Paul Maher goal that I suppose got them back into it, was it?
Yeah, I think in a tight game like that, a goal was always going to be a big score, and Loughmore Castellini had been doing very well prior to that. Probably had 6 or 7 points got. Yeah, we were winning 7-1 at the time. And 7-1 after 20 minutes and finished up with 9 points. Takes me back a long time to some distant memories of other matches, but we won't go back there.
Okay. But from I suppose from a Loughmore Castellini point of view, you keep winning. And, the weekend-to-weekend winning is a habit. You move on to the Bursley match next weekend and you wait to see who you're going to get in the draw tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's what it's about. You'd say to yourself at one stage, if you're down to one competition, you might be able to give it your best shot. But if for example, if the Hurlers were to lose next Sunday evening, to be grand to have the football to fall back on. So it's nice if you can avoid the dreaded injuries, and that's the big problem.
And how is that going, okay for you?
Yeah, so far so good, Ronan. But you don't know; you're only one step away from something happening.
It's fair to say now the draw, there's 4 teams left in it, Commercials, Brackens, Loughmore Castellini and Moyle Rovers. There is an open draw, but Brackens and Loughmore were in the same group in the group stage, so they can't meet. So from a Loughmore Castellini, there's a couple of permutations. Firstly, Brackens can't meet Loughmore, and as a consequence of that, Commercials cannot meet Moyle Rovers.
Well, it's Loughmore Castellini or Brackens will play Commercials and Moyle Rovers. That's the way it goes. You have 2 pots left.
Yeah, but look, you've the top 4 teams left in the county. No easy draws at this stage.
Yeah, I think so. Look, the shadows of Ireland. You're going to have to beat 2 of the 3 that's left. And sure, there's no easy game at this stage because every team is there on merit.
Absolutely. I think we've arrived where we all thought we would arrive. There was nobody breaking from the pack.
No, I suppose possibly our Finnan were a possibility and give the Brackens plenty of it. They seem to have been rejuvenated this year after coming very near to relegation last year.
Haven't been in the county final, 2 or 3 years ago?
You see, a good team doesn't become a bad team overnight, and I suppose the reverse is true as well, but we tend to look at it more the other way.
Yeah. I think one thing, and we'll be speaking to John Owens later on, but we haven't really mentioned a lot of Moyle Rovers so far. I wouldn't rule any of the 4 out at this point. Commercials probably, if you go down to the bookies with a fiver in your pocket, that they're the shortest odds.
Yeah, I think so. And probably at this stage, rightly or wrongly, you'd be looking at possibly Brackens as the outsiders of the 4. But then, as I mentioned already, take one player off any of the other teams and you could even the thing up very quickly. And Brackens then got their second team into the quarter final of the intermediate. I know they were well beaten by Fenner at the weekend, but a lot of good young players there, and you'd say the same about my Rovers. Great underage structures there for a number of years, and they just need to get that little bit of luck and get through to the final. And in the final, then anything can happen.
Indeed, let's talk intermediate because I think you saw Galway Rovers. They played Mullinahone, was it, in that one?
No, I saw Drumminch and Golden.
You saw Drumminch and Golden, my apologies. The final, the result in that Galway Rovers match was 3-11 to 2-11 over Mullinahone.
It must be a great game of football, like, judging by the scores. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But you did see Golden Kilfeacle progress.
No, Drumminch sawed out by a pint.
Yeah. Drumminch, that's right. Drumminch, they entered into the last four of the intermediates along with Feathered Galway Rovers and Grange Mochler. Again, an open draw, except Galway Rovers and Drum can't meet.
Yeah, they were in the same group. So possibly you'll be looking at Grange Mochler are probably the stronger of the other two. Feathered, not sure. Like, they came out of the Feathered group they came out of the Golden group.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll get it right eventually. And Golden were... Drumminch disappointed me. So, therefore, Golden then were a bit behind themselves and they had been badly beaten in the hurling the week before. So they were going to find it very hard to pick themselves up, like. And they gave a good account of themselves for a good while, but it wasn't the most pleasing game in the eye now.
Okay. Drumminch, it shouldn't surprise people how competitive they are at this grade. They were senior football club not that long ago.
Yeah, and acquitted themselves very well at senior. And last weekend, I was nailing them down as favourites, I would thought, for this intermediate football. But they have a bit of work to do, I think, to carry that tag now, if you like. I could be giving them the kiss of death, really. But they have the potential. Whether they'll realise or not is another day's work. But Grange Mochler would seem to be the team. And Galway are doing well, haven't gone down just on a year ago either, like.
Just look at relegation. You know, Mike Carkey are in relegation and Mount Temple Tui. Arvale and Caher might have surprised some people.
Yeah, I think so at the start of the year, and looking at structures that had been, you know, the underage players again. Underage talent doesn't come through naturally. Different reasons, one player going here or going there, and then possibly other codes pulling them in as well, and the dual club comes into it. And no, Arvale is a surprise one, like, I think. Caher probably had slipped a bit from... They were in a couple of finals back in the middle tens and didn't get out now. So they have a bit of recovering to do, I would think, all right.
Yeah, that's an open draw, with the exception that Arvale Rovers and Mike Carkey cannot meet. So it seems like there's a caveat for all draws that'll take place tomorrow night.
Yeah, because there's the two teams come out of the group. And we're presuming at this stage, Ron, of course, that the repeat pairings carries through the hallway, because it doesn't always follow that way, like.
Well, at this stage, we're at, you know, if there's a repeat pairing, like if Brackens and Lochmore win their respective semi-finals, they are going to have to meet in the finals.
Oh, yeah, but repeat pairings are avoided where possible.
Where possible is right, yes. Yeah. And in the Tom Cusack Cup, you have Aherlow, Airog and Acarty, Killinall and Rockwell Rovers. Open draw again, with the exception of Killinall and Rockwell Rovers cannot meet.
That's right, yeah, they were in the Lochmore Castleny, yes. Brackens group. So
it just shows how competitive.
You're looking at that at this stage and saying, oh, is that the strongest group?
Well, you'd have to make that assumption. Before I let you go, Tom, mid junior C champions, I believe, Lochmore Castleny.
Yeah, first silverware in a couple of years.
And how big a panel did you have for junior C? Somebody told me about 30 players.
There was 31 players talked out on Saturday night. Now, the age profile from top to bottom, there'd be a bit of a gap, all right. Like, but I think great credit to guys like Shamie Bohan in particular. Shamie Bohan played in the 1987 senior hurling final and still togged out and came in and played the full second half and contributed to the win. Like, so. And I think it's only right to mention probably manager of the month contender after the whole thing is one Pat Cullen at the ripe old age of 81. Like, so. Tremendous enthusiasm in those guys, and it's great. There's a competition for lads that are willing to either stay going or give a help to other fellas to bring them on as well, because they weren't all dad's army or anything like that, but there was some young fellas in it as well that, you know, they have their level and they'll get better as a result of the confidence from the other night, I think.
Fair play. Great story, Tom. We'll talk soon.
Okay, Ronan.
That's Tom McGrath speaking to me earlier on, and that's a great story, that mid-sea title, not necessarily because it was won by Loughmore Caslaney, but 30-something players togging for a mid-sea mid-final and the manager over 80. Wonderful, wonderful story. Let's just go back to that Loughmore Caslaney Kilsheelan game, because after the match, Frankie McGrath, the Loughmore manager, spoke to Paul Jenkins from Tip FM.
We probably missed a few chances there, you know, but it was a very, very tough day for football. I think we haven't played in those kind of conditions for at least 2 years at this stage, like, you know, so it takes a little bit of time to adapt and that. So, no, we're pleased, like, the lads adapted quite well. Well, and, you know, we're just thrilled to have gotten over this hurdle, and we'll have another big game in football in a couple of weeks' time.
You did seem to dominate for massive spells of that game, but coming away with only a 1-point win, I suppose. What do you feel you need to work on going forward?
Well, I think it's very, very obvious, like, if our little bit of work in front of goal needs to be a little bit better, like, you know. But you look, sure, that's we always have to have something to work on, like, you know. Then maybe the next day, maybe we'll have some little bit of a problem at the back, you know. But, you know, today's today. We won, we go through to the next round, and that's good enough for me.
I suppose when Evan Comerford came up for that last free, the dying seconds of the game, only a point up, what was going through your head?
Well, I suppose the first thing is I think we have to have sympathy for Evan, because I know it's a breezy day, but there did a hell of a gust of a breeze appear out of somewhere just as he took the kick, like, you know. So in that way, poor Evan was very unfortunate, like, so he was. And that, but look, I think on the balance of play, I think our lads, you know, probably just about deserve to win. Like, you know, say most of our scores, they came from play. Kilsheelan probably relied a little bit too much on Evan now, to be fair. Like, you know, so look, that's it. It's another hurdle jumped. We've 12 weeks in a row. Next week is 13. There's going to be 14 as well. So bring it on.
You're mentioning have been kept going. You're one of the busiest clubs in the country. How are you with Knox wise? How is everyone going in now to the next week?
I think you see them all. Sure, they all jogged into the dressing room there, like, sure, there's... there will be a few aches and pains and whatever, but look, there's nothing... I'm expecting we have a clean bill of health for next Sunday now in particular, you know, and it's, that's important, like, so that's our focus from this minute now. Big game with Borussia next week. We're hugely, hugely looking forward to it, and yeah, we can't wait to get going at that now.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care, one of Ireland's largest stockists of tiles and flooring, with a great selection of Italian and Spanish wall and floor tiles. KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care.
Find them on Facebook or Instagram.
That was Frankie McGrath speaking to Paul Jenkins after their Saturday semi-quarterfinal win over Kilsheelan Kilcash. That's one manager of one of the teams left in the last four. Let's speak to another one, because John Owens of Mile Rovers joins me. How are you, John?
Hello, Ronan. How are you doing?
Good talking to you, John. Mile Rovers have gone about their business quietly, without fuss, and efficiently and effectively, and you're in the last four. Delighted.
We're delighted to be involved this time of year. And when you look at all the lads have in the quarterfinals got as far as there last week. Like, it's been a long year for some teams, but it's great to be involved in the draw of the semi-finals. It'll be a tough game no matter who.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
county semi-final. You don't expect gimmies at this stage. But let's just talk about the Ballyporeen challenge, because it was a challenge. And those goals you got within 6 minutes of each other turned the tide in your favour. But before that, Ballyporeen had given you plenty.
Well, they had, certainly, you know. And you would expect Ballyporeen to do that. They have their proud history out there. You know, they have a couple of great players scattered in the backs that played very well midfield, and Connor and a number of other fellas in the forwards. So, like, we had to at least match them, you know, for the fight that was in the game, you know. And thankfully we did. And those two goals obviously made a huge difference to us.
And in fairness to the Ballyporeen, they came out at the start of the second half. I think they kicked three unanswered points before Rian and Liam kicked some points for you.
I suppose the biggest thing with the game was that everybody was fighting tooth and nail, you know, and the wind was going straight across the field. It wasn't really giving any advantage to anybody, you know. But at the end of the day, it's championship football. It's not an easy ground. It's a heavy, heavy ground. the championship, you're going to have to contend with the elements, and it adds an awful lot to the overall game.
It does, and you know, much is made of Loughmore's dual status, but like your intermediate hurlers have been out and continue to be out because you've got a really, really important intermediate match, I think, against Arrivale imminently. It's probably next weekend, as far as I know. I'm open to correction on that. So you'll be looking at that from the likes of, you know, keeping whatever dual players you have fit for that county semi-final. I know Stephen Quirk has struggled with injury over the course of the last couple of weeks, so he's a big player for both your hurlers and your footballers.
Stephen is, but I think that, you know, that the fact that the team are in that relegation final, it's important for us to hold on to our intermediate status, you know. But overall, the two managements and the players have worked well during the year to make it as smooth as possible, because, like, I think there's been 1 week off since the middle of August for a lot of those two players, and they've all been significant games at different times, you know. So injuries, they happen. And you just have to accept that, you know, and the cards that you're dealt with on the morning of a match are the cards that you have to play, you know. So I think at the end of next weekend, we know if we've held our intermediate status in hurling, and then we can concentrate solely on the following weekend, which is another big day.
I'm conscious last year your intermediate team got to a county semi-final against Rockwell Rovers, I think, which probably limited your senior panel in terms of you didn't want to pull from your intermediate team. Has there been an advantage this year that, you know, your intermediate team, unfortunately for ye, are not active at this time of the year, so it perhaps gives you a bit more options in terms of making changes?
Well, I suppose they're only after finishing about just over two weeks.
That's,
you know,
right.
So
yeah.
Like and we were trying to help manage that, because there has been injuries, and thanks be to God that some of them are clearing up. And but at the end of the day, you have to accept that you try to manage the expectations of both panels, you know, in terms of football and senior football, that we try to mind them to a certain extent. But that was just part of the course, and I think at the end of the day, it's great to have intermediate lads playing as far as end of October, you know, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. You've still, you know, you've watched that team evolve over the last number of years. It, you know, there's a lot of very young players. I don't know what age Rian Quigley is. He's one of the more almost established lads in your panel, but he's probably still only 24.
Yeah, no, Rean's actually 21.
Oh, gosh, I'm putting years on him, sorry.
But it just seems he's been,
I mean, that's a compliment to him in that he's been around for a while. Like,
yeah, you see, I suppose he's, like, Rean has spent at least one season up with the inter-county setup, you know, so he's been around a while, you know, and has been contributing. There's a lot of other young fellas there like him that have been brought through the ranks, you know, yeah. And you just feel at the end of the day that, you know, you'd like to see a little bit more duration in the championship, so as to get a little bit more experience, maybe for this year and next year.
But is that blend between the likes of Liam Boland, who's, you know, a seasoned campaigner, it's fair to say at this stage, he's been around a while. Is that blend between those younger players, like your own lads, Rian, Killian Crowe probably, yeah, those fellas who've come through from a successful minor team a few years ago, played underage with Tip at under 20 and minor, they've now matured into your senior panel?
You look to the likes of Liam and Richie Parsh and Foley, Diarmuid Foley, to bring these fellas along, you know, like, and then there's a group that would be slightly older than the youngest group there, but, and it's just a matter of these guys have been there and have won the championship in 2018, so they just need to get a little bit more experience under the belt so as it can make them boys push on, you know. So we're all hoping from a more lower perspective that happens, you know.
So you know you're going to face either Brackens or Loughmore in the semi-final.
Yes, that's right. Like there is nothing easy, and you see what Brackens have to offer from their underage setup and the players that they have had both in hurling and football. You know what Loughmore offers and continue to offer it. So like we played them last year and came out the wrong end of a defeat. So we're under no illusions. We just feel that if we can keep everybody that remains healthy now, that they get get over next weekend in the intermediate hurling that'll help us to produce a performance that will take us to the final.
There was very little between yourselves and Loughmore in last year's semi-final, and then Loughmore lost the county final by a point. It is indicative, surely, of just how competitive, say, the top three, top four teams are, which is where we are back at again this year.
We are, running, but like Kilshielan and Ballygreen have produced close matches in the quarterfinals. You know, so, like, you have to admire everybody that gets there, but the fact that those three teams have pushed their individual component close. But like, we played Loughmore last year in a semi-final in Borland, and they when it mattered, they had fellas coming off the bench that definitely contributed, you know. So we're under an illusion that they have experience and have certainly got the Loughmore quality of never giving up. So we would hope to match that if we happen to get them. And it'll be a back to the wall for every team left in the championship, I would say.
No doubt about it, John. Continued success to you and your players, and we look forward to talking to you again here next
Thanks
time.
Ron.
Not at all. Stay well. That's John Owens joining us there, manager of Mile Rovers. That win over Ballyporeen gets them into the last four. Martin Quinlivan is online too. How are you, Martin?
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
Good. I mean, you know, we previewed the Senior Football Championship months ago when the draws were done. We are pretty much where we thought we'd be.
We are, yeah. The big three are in the semi-final again. I think it's 6 years running. Ronan, that Commercials, Mile Rovers and Loughmore have reached the semi-final stage, and this year they're joined by J.K. Brackens.
I'd say that's unprecedented around the country, I'd say.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the only real decision was, would it be Kilshielan or J.K. Brackens that would probably make the last four with them? And, you know, the way the group stages kind of panned out, Kilshielan ended up playing Loughmore in a semi-final or in a quarter-final, and, you know, came up a point short. But, the big three or four of the big fives, as you in the semi-final, and I don't think anybody's too surprised.
No, not at all. Let's just a quick word on Commercials against Upper Church. Upper Church, of course, had the misfortune of drawing the defending champions in both senior competitions, and Commercials put up a decent score on them again.
Yeah, I think there was a price up of 50-1 on for Commercials.
I saw that.
The game.
Yeah.
I think at half time, you wouldn't have been thinking that, because it only really became the game that people anticipated in the second half. It was 6-4 at half time. Now, Upper Church had played with a stiff enough breeze, but it certainly put it up to Commercials. And but I mean, Commercials came out down in the, you know, in the third quarter. They hit 1-9, and really the game was done at that stage. You know, both teams kind of emptied the bench in the fourth quarter. Upper Church would be happy enough to reach in the quarter final. It's a significant achievement for them in both senior hurling and football, and something maybe to build on for next year. And I think Commercials, we mentioned a few weeks back, hadn't played for 5 weeks because obviously I haven't gotten a walkover from my car key, and some of the first half can be put down to maybe ring rust, but they'll be glad they've had a tough enough first half, but they know they'll have to improve from here on.
I was at the Mary's Thurles Sarsfields match, and I saw Jamie and Ross Peters go off injured, so I don't know how much that bled into your senior selection for the game against the Church.
No, they were fit. Both played, yeah. Both played. They've had, you know, I'm all Loughmore normally get the headlines in terms of playing hurling football, but there's, what, 7 or 8 lads involved with St Mary's doing the same thing. Kilshielan, obviously, football and hurling week after week, and even Mile Rovers.
Yeah.
They're facing a relegation battle in hurling next weekend, I think. So, you know, players have been quite busy, and they're going to pick up little knocks and little niggles, and Loughmore were down a couple of players on Saturday as a result as well, but they keep pulling it out, and, you know, fair play to those players for producing week on week. And, you know, that's what players want to do. They want to play, and, you know, they'd rather be playing than training, to be honest with you, you know. So
I don't know if you have any insight into the Ard Finnan Brackens match, but what I do know is that Ard Finnan certainly gave them plenty. I think it was a 2-point victory in the end for Brackens, but Ard Finnan, as Tom said, don't become a bad team overnight.
No, and in fairness, I think it was their best, they saved their best performance of the season for the quarterfinals. And I think they'll leave the season, you know, with confidence renewed. But probably last couple of years, they were really going nowhere. But I think Tom McGlinchey steadied the ship and they've got stuff to build on for next year. JK Bracken's will have a big say in this competition, yes. They're the only one of the last four who don't have hurling commitments ahead of them. You know, and they play a defined game. I know Joe Hayes has been coaching them. You know, they drop defensive, leave one or two up top. And then they look to turn you over, which they're quite good at, and they're very, very quick on the counter-attack. And that's really what that troubled Ard Finnan big time in the first half yesterday. And I think, you know, Aidan McBride, obviously, with his two goals, will probably deservedly get the headlines. But although Ard Finnan had a late chance, I think, to snatch a goal and maybe snatch the game, I think J.K. Bracken's were the deserved winners. And as I said, don't be ruling them out yet from taking one of the big three and hit a scalp in the next round.
Yeah, but sure. Paddy Cadell is such a fine footballer. You know, people need to realise that at any team with Cadell in it is always has an engine and a driving force.
And there's two of them, because Conor Cadell, you remember,
he's a good player too,
he's come through this year. He's really, really good. But they play Nana McBride a little further up the field, and Dean McEnroe is back, and they have a new full forward in Jack Kennedy, who's very quick and caused Ard Finnan problems. They're well drilled, and as I said, you know, they're very focused on the football because they've gone out of the hurling now for over a month. So. Yeah. They're going to be a handful for whoever they draw in the semi final.
Yeah, and as you see, all you know at this point, Martin, is you can't draw Mile Rovers, but it could be any one of the mid tips.
Yeah, from a commercial's point of view, they can't draw Mile Rovers because obviously that would mean Loughmore and Jacob Brackens with the other semi final, which is the only one that can't happen. So either it's going to be South v Mid in both semi finals, whatever way it crosses out, over. So and look, should be two good games the weekend after next.
Absolutely. In the intermediate, there's four teams left standing. Tom would say Grange Mochler are the favourites for this, but Featherton, Drum and Galty, you know, there isn't a lot between them.
No, there's not. Grange Mochler, obviously, last year's beaten finalists and probably have been the ones, you know, the standout team in this and had a big win over Clonalty. Galty Rovers, last year's relegated team from senior, kind of found their form again, both in hurling and they were relegated in both competitions last year, intermediate hurling and senior football. And they've already won the West Junior Hurling and now they're into a semi-final at the county intermediate. So, you know, they're not going to be easily beaten. Pat Morrissey has them in good shape and when everyone's fit and available and pulling in the one direction, they'll certainly ask any questions. Better back in the semi-final 2 year running, McMahon, he'll be happy with that, and they probably won't be favourites in their semi-final. And but they'll ask questions. A good young team that can play good football. And Drum and Inch as well, another team like J.K. Bracken's gone out of the hurling now for a while. They won this competition about 4 or 5 years ago.
That's
and
right.
They're back again now in the semi-final and led by Emmett Maloney. They'll be hard beaten. So that'd be a very interesting competition. But I do think Grange Mochler carry the mantle of favourites into that. And certainly after last year, they'll be looking to get promoted and probably are the favourites to beat. You know, they're the ones to beat, to be honest.
You know, I got a lot of texts last week about the fact that Skeena Rinkey were playing a Junior A hurling today 48 hours after Ballyporeen were playing in senior football. Something similar happened for Grange Mochler. I think they were playing intermediate football and then under 19 football today. There would have been a crossover.
There would have been, of course. Yeah, I mean, obviously, commercials were kind of, you know, two lads who came on as subs yesterday played under 19 today as well. Yeah, it's not, you know, I know as it turns out, Skeen won today, I think, in that junior hurling final. So
they did, they beat Ballingarry, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Grange Mochler didn't. I think Commercials won the game quite comfortably. It was a very strong under 19 team from Commercials. Obviously, you know, the same group of lads also reached the under 19 hurling final. So, you know, they're a good bunch, and they did way too much for Grange Mochler today. But it's tough because Grange Mochler's main players in their under 19 would also be, you know, core to their intermediate team. But I think their intermediates will be the one they've been chasing this year. They really do want to get the senior football to take them to the next level.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd say that they'll settle if they can win that. And you know, today in the under 19, they'll put it down to experience.
Just before I let you go, a text in from a listener wants me to ask you about the format for the Tom Cusack Cup. The texter says it's flawed. A team who finishes fourth in their group could win the Tom Cusack, while the team who beat them and finished third could be relegated. The Tom Cusack Cup should be for third place teams only, and relegated semis for fourth place teams. Hopefully next year the cup will be for a Premier Intermediate Championship.
Yeah, maybe, Ronan, I know we spoke briefly about, you know, the 16 teams at senior level. Is there really? We know there's five, and you'll probably get another three in any given year. It's possibly something we'll have to revisit. I don't know, though. I mean, if you finish third in your group, and, you know, to be relegated, it means you lose three further matches. And I don't think you can have too much complaint if that happens, to be honest with you. There's only one team going down. So, I don't know. I think, in fairness, if you lose three matches, it means you probably have lost five of your six matches in the year. You probably have to accept that that's as good as you are in the year if that's where you end up.
Yeah, fair enough. And I kind of like the idea of the Tom Keogh Cup. Aherlow, Iroga and McCarthy killing all Rockwell Rovers. All have something to play for, and Rockwell are only just up from intermediate last year.
Yeah, I think Rockwell will be really, really pleased at the weekend. You know, that means they're safe in their first year, which was their primary goal. Obviously, Arabelle Rovers, a team with a long tradition, are now facing potentially relegation like Galtee Rovers did last year in both competitions. You know, they hope, you know, perhaps they'll find it in themselves to give a performance, but they haven't really all year, and it's not going to be easy. Care and other teams.
You saw Arabelle, didn't Arabelle play in the league final, or was that Aherlow?
No, that was Aherlow.
My apologies.
Yeah, that was Aherlow, yeah.
But I remember seeing Arabelle really competitive 2-3 years ago on a wet Wednesday midweek quarter final against Commercials.
Yeah, they won. That's right. They won by a point.
Yeah.
And Arabelle have won the under 19 this year. I think, as we said, though, I think start of the year they were very focused on the hurling because they were in a county junior hurling final, you know, held over from last year. May never have got around to thinking about the 2021 competitions, but they have to do now because they have two big relegation battles ahead of them over the next couple of weeks. Care similarly, year hasn't really gone well for them. They're a good team last year. Unfortunate, they probably would have qualified for a quarter final had there been quarter finals. This year, they're in a relegation scrap, and they're going to have to find something. Mindtemple Tui, obviously their minds are on the intermediate hurling semi-finals next weekend, and they went down to Aherlow and Mike Carkey. Their season in hurling is over, and I think they remain safe.
They're safe, yeah.
Senior, yeah. And now they have to try and achieve the same thing in football. And, you know, but look, that's going to be a battle as well, because none of those four teams really. Mine probably did for a while. I think they had one good win. But the others, you know, it's going to be a bit of a struggle for them. And, you know, they're going to have to find it in themselves to get one victory to keep themselves safe.
Martin, it's always good talking to you. Those draws on tomorrow night. We'll talk to you in due course. Thanks indeed.
Cheers, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. It's Martin Quinlivan joining us there. Just on that relegation, it will be an open draw, with the exception that Arabelle Rovers and Mycarkey Boris cannot meet. So therefore, it will be Care and Mindtemple Tui can't meet either. So Arabelle, Care, Mycarkey and Mindtemple Tui. Just before we go off football, a quick word with County Football Board Chairman Conor O'Dwyer. How are you, Conor?
Evening, Ronan.
Conor, I want to talk about Congress and the defeat of Motion 19, otherwise known as Proposal B. I know what the football family in Tipperary wanted, but in your heart of hearts, did you think it had a chance of getting the 60%?
Wasn't sure, to be honest, Ron. I think nobody knew on the day. I think everybody felt it was going to be tight. But I guess when you have Munster and Ulster and Block coming out against it, and I think Mayo and Galway had declared in advance as well, it was always going to be difficult. I think in the end, it probably swung from what I gather on potentially the overseas votes, which I think they've got 30 delegates or 30 votes, rather, you know. So it was always going to be tight. I think probably the fact that it got over 50%, albeit barely, makes it difficult maybe to remove it completely from the agenda and for future meetings. So I think there is a reasonable chance it'll come back again in the short term, whether or not that's in the next 2 months or the next couple of years, not sure. But I think there is momentum for change, and I think certainly, but it's not completely off the agenda, I think.
Whilst a lot of people who voted against it spoke in favour of change, but not necessarily this change.
Yeah, it was slightly frustrating, being honest, which every single speaker that got up, and there was about 20 or 25 people spoke, they all declared at the outset they were for change, running. You know, I thought...
Change on their terms, though.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, if not now, when, or if not us, who, you know? Yeah, changing their terms without outlining really what that change was like, you know? So, yeah, that was a little bit frustrating, but I guess, you know, the GA in a lot of ways moved slowly, and maybe that was an example. But again, I wouldn't say all is lost for those, you know, uncertain. We were, you know, strongly in favour of B, and I think most counties were, I guess. Certainly the so-called weaker football counties, I think, saw a lot to be gained from B. So I would say, you know, hopefully it will it'll be a debate that'll continue, I think.
Do you think there's a sense that those at the top table, Kerry voted against it, Mayo voted against it, I don't know how Dublin as a county voted, but I'll come back to that in a second, Ulster, as you said, on block, with the possible exception of Fermanagh, I think, voted against it. I'm just wondering whether there's a sense that those at the top table are pulling up the ladder for fear that others might join them.
Yeah, well, Fermanagh were strongly opposed to it as well, actually. Oh, I think the Ulster case is fairly clear-cut. They place huge value on the Ulster Championship, and understandably, but I was telling the delegate from Mayo before the vote, and their point of view was, well, you know, if they finished sixth, for example, in Division 1, it meant they were out, and that typically says where they normally finish as fifth or sixth, you know, but I do think that, you know, there's a price to be paid for progress, and if the team that finishes sixth in Division 1 doesn't qualify, it would be tough, you know. They've had seven league games to get into the top five, and particularly in the new format where those league games are played at a better time of the year and become almost quasi-championship matches, you know. But maybe that's what will happen, that they might shove the top six teams in Division 1 into it, or maybe the top four in Division 2. I think there'll be a compromise of sorts over the next period of time. But yeah, it was certainly frustrating.
So, like, from a Tipperary point of view, it's a, you know, what Tipperary need is progression. Progressing out of Division 4, progressing out of Division 3. And is that the goal, rather than perhaps, you know, focusing on Tailteann Cups versus Sam Maguire's?
Well, I think it's all of the above, being honest with you. You know, I think the attraction of this was you're playing better quality league games at a better time of the year. And I think the difference in the Tailteann Cup, the way it's been structured, or at least as per proposal B, versus, for example, the Tommy Murphy Cup a couple of years ago, is by winning the Tailteann Cup, it guarantees you promotion, you know, if you haven't already finished top of your division. So I think that link between the Tailteann Cup and promotion, which was in this proposal, is important, or else there's a danger to become a bit like Tommy Murphy, and really that disappeared very quickly after the initial maybe noise around it, you know. I think, you know, getting up out of Division 4 and into Division 3 is important, but, you know, you want to be successful in all competitions, and I think the format would have suited us. Albeit there is, you know, the reality is, and this is the fear of a lot of delegates, particularly those in Ulster, it would reduce the importance of the divisional competition. And I think, you know, some would say it won't, but in reality is it, while it will in some way, but maybe, you know, as I say, there's no change without some price to be paid, and that's a change we felt maybe was worth it.
But is that not the Rubicon that some people are afraid to cross? That the potential relegation status of the provincial championship, whilst, you know, the Munster and Leinster championships are utterly predictable most years, that's not, you know, you're never going to get the Ulster turkeys voting for Christmas.
No, but of course you don't necessarily need, you know, you could probably get it over the line maybe without having the Ulster counties on board. But it's a difficult one. I suppose the reality is, you know, on the Leitrim, secretary spoke eloquently on it. You know, they won the Connacht Championship maybe 30 years ago now. But
1994,
winning,
yeah.
Yeah, but winning, first time in 65 years, I think it was, but winning provincial titles every 30, 40, 50 or 60 years isn't enough anymore. You know, it might have been maybe 20 or 30 years ago, but there's so much asked of inter-county players now, Rona, vis-a-vis maybe even 10 or 15 years ago, in terms of time commitment, that, you know, the prospect of winning sort of that glorious provincial title once in a lifetime really isn't enough. You know, there needs to be, I think, more focus on more games at the right time of the year, in a competition or in a group, or, you know, you're playing maybe teams of equal ability. And this annual trouncing, you know, certainly Leitrim spoke very eloquently against that. And I think you could probably put most counties in Leinster into that bracket as well. They don't really see a reasonable chance of success in the Leinster Championship, but they're looking for something more. And I say change, and maybe always comes at a price. I think that's the price that most counties were prepared to pay.
Yeah, I share your frustration, because I think while it was imperfect, I think Proposal B at least was the start. It you could have tweaked it many, many times over the course of, it was a 2-year experiment, it was all I think was being proposed. Yeah. And just option C or Proposal C was status quo, which serves nobody's interest really.
At least in status quo, Ronan, it looks like the Super 8 are gone.
They are gone, yeah.
You know, and the notion of giving more games to the top 8 teams or something, I'm never that happy with a lot of people, myself included. So at least that is gone. But there was, and I know we could argue or say that, you know, a lot of people talking about change, but yet they wanted to remain the same. But I think there was a genuine mood maybe for change. It was my first Congress. I wouldn't be claiming to be an expert on how to read it, but I think there was a genuine mood for change. And I think if they bring back Proposal B in a slightly different format, maybe to have the top six in Division 1 might get a few more counties over the line, or maybe in some way to retain a link between the provincial championship and the Sam Maguire, maybe that's needed. But I think you will see change over the next couple of years. Will it come in the next 6 months at the next Congress? Perhaps, I'm not sure, but I think you will see change in the short to medium term.
So if you're a gambling man, I'll leave you with this, if you're a gambling man, do you see a tie-in between the league and championship as was proposed in Proposal B in the short to medium term?
I'm not sure. I do think in time that the link will be broken between the provincial championship and the All-Ireland series. I think that'll happen in time, and possibly it just means that more teams in Division 1 and Division 2 are guaranteed access to Sam Maguire. That certainly would have meant the Mayo man. I was talking to quite happy, and I suspect Galway and Kerry as well, you know.
Okay. Well, time will tell, but certainly a credible second tier championship is much needed on a proper footing, whereby, you know, you'd have a Tailteann Cup played before an All-Ireland semi-final or an All-Ireland final. I think that's critical at this point. You know, you got to give, for all the effort that goes in for Leitrim footballers, Waterford footballers, Tipperary footballers, they need to, you know, have a realistic chance of getting to Croke Park.
It does, but it can't just be a standalone competition with no reward, because we had that with the Tommy Murphy Cup run, and that's...
Oh, yeah, I appreciate your point, that promotion has to come with it.
It needs to be linked, because it's fine, it works fine in club activity, whereby if I'm an intermediate club, that's my sole goal at the start of the year, is to win the intermediate club championship. But at inter-county level, where maybe my primary goal starting at the start of the year is to progress in the senior championship, then to have a fallback of a secondary competition isn't enough, unless there's a link to something else in promotion. Yeah. I think in the league it's the carrot.
Yeah, no, I concur with you. Conor, it's good talking to you. Stay well. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, Ronan.
Not at all. That's Conor O'Dwyer, Chair of the Football Board. We'll take a very, very quick break. We'll have some hurling for you after this.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care, one of Ireland's largest stockists of tiles and flooring, with a great selection of Italian and Spanish wall and floor tiles. KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care.
Find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, 083-311-3311. Noel Dundon from the Tipperary Stars online. Hey, Noel.
Hello, Ron. How are things?
Good, thanks. One texter wants me to ask you if there's any update on Tipperary's new hurling strength and conditioning coach. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you have.
I haven't been asked yet, anyway.
No. The strange thing is, you know, what I find interesting about that text is that we're so interested now in the backroom team. Like, I'd say 15 years ago, nobody could name the Tipperary strength and conditioning coach, no more so than from a hill of beans. But now we're all keen and eager to see what that appointment is going to be. It shows how that science has evolved.
Absolutely. I mean, the strength and conditioning is as important now as the selector's role or coaching role, because if your team isn't physically right and ready for the game, you're on the back foot immediately, you know. So,
well, it just shows where the bar is set now, you know.
Unbelievably so. Yeah. I mean, guys can't even sort of take an off season now. You know, they have to keep themselves in nick, because you can't come back into training at the end of November, beginning of December, you know, a half a stone overweight or something like that. You just can't do it anymore. They have to be under game all the time, and watching what they're eating and what they're drinking and all that kind of thing, you know. So it really is a very professional kind of a way of life for the players now, and the strength and conditioning coach is so important in terms of that, you know.
It goes hand in hand with diet and dietetics and all the rest. It really is an extraordinary science. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Holy Cross Ballycahill Ross Gray. Disappointing for Ross Gray because they've lost their senior status. I Holy Cross will be a huge sigh of relief, I'd imagine, in that parish this weekend.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the overriding feeling here. I think, you know, it's kind of it's not one you celebrate. You know, you know that you got out of jail. You know that you survived by the skin of your teeth and that. And I think that's very much the, as you say, relief was very much the feeling as they left Temple Tui on Saturday. Disappointing for Ross Gray. Whatever team goes down is going to be disappointing. You know, they would have probably felt that they were in a good position. You know, they're 10 points to 6 in front at half time, having played with the breeze, and you know, in a decent enough position. The Holy Cross goalkeeper Dinny Ferncombe made a really good save in the first half and a really good save in the second half as well, you know. And, you know, Ross Grey were right there at the very end. The last score of the game was the ball from Dara Woods to put Holy Cross 6 in front. So Ross Grey were coming in search of that goal that would have maybe forced extra time when Holy Cross got the goal to put that bit of daylight between them, you know. So very, very bad conditions, wind and rain, heavy pitch.
Did Alan Tynan hit the post at one stage? He struck
the post just after Darrell Woods had got that goal for Holy Cross, which would have it wouldn't have made it a draw. It would have put three points between them again. But it was a real sort of an attritional game, you know. It was real dog eat dog, and Holy Cross just dug it out. Who knows, if it had to go on another couple of minutes, it could have been the other way, you know.
Yeah, just I suppose that's what you'd expect from a relegation final, with, you know, two teams almost more afraid to lose than to go win. But a Holy Cross team with the likes of Brian O'Mara in it, Dara Woods, you know, they would be expected to maintain their senior status, particularly when you see what's coming through from Holy Cross. That, you know, some real phenomenal talent. And, you know, we might touch on the under 17 final. I don't know if you saw Dorlasog against Holy Cross. Yeah. But I'd seen Holy Cross against Mary's in the semi final. I was hugely impressed with them.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I suppose from a Holy Cross point of view, to dip back down into the Shamus Arena would have been a huge drop for them, you know. And, like, they were very, very close in a number of their games this year. I mean, they ran to Naughty really close. Lost by that last minute Owen Kelly score to Mulnahone. Very same thing then against Anna Carty the last day out, you know. So they were very, very close in a lot of their games, and it just goes to show you the margins are really, really tight in these things. And I think Ross Grey will probably see the same thing. Mm. I'm not sure that dropping back to the Shamus Arena equates to the old system where you drop from senior back down to intermediate. I think there's a little bit more of a cushion there, if you like, because of the fact that you're dropping back halfway. But
don't tell Burgess that, like.
Yeah, no. But granted, it's still a blow to a club to go down. You know, I'm not saying that. Granted, it's still a blow to a club to go down. But the fact that you can, you know, in Ross Grey's case, if they were to win next year, win the Shamus Arena, come back up, you're coming back up with a victory behind you too, which I think probably counts. Holy Cross came up without winning the Shamus Arena. If you remember, J.K. Brackens won the Shamus Arena that year.
Last puck of the game, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right. A real killer blow, you know.
You ride the Rovers kind of job.
Yeah, or a great way to win it, whichever way you want to look at it, you know. But and J.K. Brackens have benefited from that, I think, Ronan. You know, they've came up with confidence and they've taken it on and they've been comfortable enough in the Dan Breen without pushing on to make it to the closing stages. But they've still been comfortable enough, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you about that under? We touched on the under 17, Dorlasog. That, like, I know they're different clubs, but Thurles Sarsfields wins the under 19A, Dorlasog the under 17A. I think they won the mid under 15A, did they?
They did against Holy Cross again, actually last Wednesday night. Yeah, and they've won the under 13 as well, I think, you know. So they're in a phenomenal vein of success at the minute, you know, there's no sign of it abating. But I would say, on the evidence of yesterday and maybe on Wednesday night's game as well, the gap is sort of closing a bit, and people are beginning to go the extra mile to try and rein them in. Yesterday's game was a brilliant contest, a really, really, really good contest. Hurling wise, maybe not top drawer, but as a contest, it was superb. It had everything. And Dorlasog just had that little bit more. But I would say Holy Cross closed the gap on them in terms of what had happened earlier on the year. You know, they really, really produced a very solid performance. And right, they lost the game and they left Littleton very disappointed. And Dorlasog celebrated rightly. To win the first, of course, is a big thing as well, you know.
Yes, of course.
The first time for the under 17. But I think Holy Cross will take a hell of a lot of positives from the game, as will the Dorlasog as winners, you know.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Dorlasog, but what I've seen of Holy Cross, you'd be hugely, hugely impressed with. I got to fly, Noel. I'm not finished yet before we go off air at 8. So thanks for your time tonight.
Great stuff, Ronan. No
thanks
problem.
That's Noel Dundon there with his thoughts on that. Senior hurling relegation finished. Holy Cross Ballycal 115. Ross Grey 12 points. And in that under 17A, it finished 117-3-9 in favour of Dorlasog. Congratulations to them. Barry Ryan's on the line, the manager of Clonmel Town Football Club. How are you, Barry?
Yeah, Morning, how are things?
Sensational, absolutely super. Lots to talk about. We'll squeeze it in as best we can. And I'm not even going to start with the Premier League because Michaels against Clonmel Celtic in Division 1 was a key game for Celtic to go up to Tiptown and take that scalp. I suppose it reignites their promotion hopes.
Absolutely. I think the promotion hopes is exactly it. I think if they failed to win on Sunday when they went down to the town, I think there was, I don't think they were going to get promoted. St. Michael's B were possibly then looking at winning the league, challenging Wildies, was between the two of them. But I think now, very much, it's game on again for Celtic. Big, big win.
Huge win, because that's their first team, if you like, you know. And for a club with the facilities they have, with the catchment area they have, they really shouldn't be in this division.
No, they shouldn't. But look, I suppose that we always say the best team wins the league, and by the same thing, that, you know, you deserve to go down if you go down. And I suppose, look, they've been in kind of a little bit of turmoil over the last couple of years. You know, even in terms of this promotion push, it's been, you know, the likes of Joycey, Johnny Cagney, Andrew Cosgrave were all still playing on Sunday. So down to Shawnee O'Hara as well. So down the line, if they do come back up, they're going to have to look at a significant rebuild. But they do have some really, really good young players, Warrior Dowd, you know, maybe one of the best young players in the league. So there is young players there as well, Julian Curtin and so on. So, you know, look, maybe it's something for them going forward.
I'm just going to dip into the Premier League as well, because one fixture that stood out for me was the Cashel-Town Peak Villa one. And the reason this stood out for me was because you've got the top three in the Premier League, and any of Cashel-Town trying to create a top four, maybe this was a kind of a realism for them in terms of the gulf between them and the top three. Peak Villa winning 5-2 up in Cashel.
Yeah, I suppose, look, St. Michael's and Clonmel maybe had one eye on Parmatale, and, you know, would anything give? You know, Cashel's always a difficult place to go. But look, we were up in Charters ourselves a couple of weeks ago. Peak Villa absolutely flying. You know, when you meet them in that form, they score a lot of goals. You know, Pippi Carroll on the score sheet again. Frank McKevitt has put himself amongst the goals. They're a very good side, and I'd say for Cashel, it's very much, they've consolidated in the Premier League. They're going to be mid-table. And I suppose it's about what next for them. But games like Sunday probably aren't going to find their season.
But it does tell you where Peak Villa are at, I think, that they are competitive. They are serious contenders for that title.
Yeah, absolutely they are. But you know what? All roads lead to Thurles on Sunday, because that'll tell you where they're at. They meet St. Michael's again. There's an awful lot of talk about changing of the guard and St. Michael's maybe fighting the dying of the light and all of this stuff. Sunday will tell you. There's no excuses. It's literally the showstopper. On Sunday, it's the game everybody wants to see. That will tell Peak Villa exactly where they are.
Yeah, I suppose. I think that's fair. Like I said, Michael's had a good win over Kerr Park, who really are struggling this year. While Town had to go up to New Hill Park, I don't know what the wind was like up there when you played them on Sunday. 2-1 win for Town against Boris. Boris, a good side.
Yeah, look, huge credit to Boris. Played really, really good football. They're actually on the front foot for a lot of the game. We're probably a classic example of a team in our first season together. We've probably been the fly in the ointment. I think everybody saw Peak Villa and St. Michael's were going to fight it out, and here we are sitting top of the table at the moment. And we had to show huge character to get out, you know, to get over the line and win. Boris really took the game to us. And look, you could make a genuine argument that they deserve the point out of it. Davey Maguire has gone in there, and he's playing a lot of young players to play a really good brand of football. And all credit to them. We were absolutely delighted to get out of there with 3 points on Sunday. And all credit to my lads as well. Massive character.
Yeah, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about the top three, but we need to speak about the bottom of the Premier League as well, because that is a dogfight. I mean, every win for any of those four teams down at the bottom is going to be pivotal.
Yeah, it looks like a really intriguing battle down there. Banjo seem to have come back to life a little bit, got a couple of really good wins.
Yeah.
Big win against Boris, I think people probably didn't see coming. I always felt Banjo were going to be okay because they have all the players. It's just a matter of when Galtee are finished in GA and everybody becomes available. They always put a really good run together. Glengoole, to me, seem to be the ones in the most trouble at the moment. I think Vera Rovers will be fine. Padgett has a lot of experience up there as well. And I think when the dust settles, they'll get a couple of results together, and I think they'll pull themselves away. Same with Kerr. I think Shane Ferris, you know, look, they've had a couple of bad weeks and stuff as well, but I think there's enough experience and guys have been around. I just think Glengoole are struggling for numbers. They've been a brilliant group of players for 7, 8, 9 years, and those players have all kind of got old together, and I just think they're coming to the very end and there's nothing coming through. So for me, I think Glengoole, unless they can really pull something together, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean it's very, very exciting at the bottom. I think there's Munster Junior Cup action next weekend as well. You know, you'll have Peak Villa against Michaels. That's actually, when you were talking about that, I assumed it was a league match. That's a Munster Junior Cup match.
Do you know, it's one of those. I don't care if it's FAI Junior Cup, Munster Junior Cup, World Cup. It doesn't matter what Peak Villa play St Michaels in this weekend. This is the game. Everybody's been waiting to see. St Michaels went up there three times last year. Munster, FAI and league and won all three. So, you know, Peak Villa totally deserve to start talking about changing the guard. They have a brilliant young squad. But this is it. Go and do it now. And by the same merit, Chalky and Johnny will bring St. Michael's up there on Sunday. And I certainly wouldn't be writing them off.
It's always good talking to you, my friend. Lots to talk about next weekend as well. Take care and stay well.
Thanks a million, Ronan.
Not at all. That's Barry Ryan, manager of Clonmel Town. Lots of good action in the Munster Junior Cup second round next weekend. Those games next Sunday. There is a Premier League match as well between Ker Park and 2 Mile Boroughs. That is all we have for you this Bank Holiday Monday. My thanks to all of you for listening and your texts and tuning in. Ian O'Connor produced. We will be back with you next Monday night as usual. Until then, take care, good night and good luck.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Brought to you by KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care, one of Ireland's largest stockists of tiles and flooring, with a great selection of Italian and Spanish wall and floor tiles. KC Tiles and Wooden Floors Care.
Find them on Facebook or Instagram.